Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Folks, it has been a minute, and in that minute, we have had some life changes, and all along the way, you know what we were thinking about the whole time? Going back to Walt Disney World. My name is Annie Fry, and I'm the host of the Pixie Dust Podcast, and my co-host, my dear, dear, dear friend, Erica Murphy. We're back on the podcast, Erica.
We're back.
How excited are you about this?
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say probably 35.
Fantastic. So off the charts. Now, we checked, and the last time that we did a podcast was September 3rd of 2020. And I will tell you what, it's very difficult to do a podcast about planning Disney World vacations when Disney World is closed. They had just opened up, but there were so many things that hadn't returned. It was incredibly complicated. And on top of all of that, I got pregnant. And so did Erica.
Yeah, so, all the babies.
Yes, life happens. And now we are back in the game. Our babies are running around and you know, doing toddler things. And we are here to talk to you about planning your 2023 Walt Disney World vacation. And honestly, beyond that. So Erica, talk to me about yourself as a Disney World vacation planner, what you can do for people, and kind of how you got to that place.
Yeah, well, you know how I got here. It was a cold day in 1983. I have loved Disney my entire life. And, you know, when this came, this opportunity presented itself to be a travel agent that specializes in Disney, I'm like, this was made for me. I get to live vicariously through all these people. And I mean, how many times when you go, do I stalk your page and say, send me pictures? Because I love it. And I end up becoming really close to the people I help plan. But, you know, I do just that. So I can do as much planning or as little planning as people want. There are some people that are professional Disney goers that just use an agent to kind of help with the back end stuff in case anything happens that, you know, maybe a magic band's not working or a reservation needs to be changed. And that's something that I can certainly help with. Or I can do everything from planning to helping you pick which resort works best for your family, what parks to go to on what day, what park reservations. I mean, so much has changed in the last 3 years, and it's always changing. So we stay up to date with that kind of stuff. So we're able to kind of help navigate to get the most out of your vacation, and it's completely free to use us. So
you're Erica Murphy, E-R-I-K-A Murphy with
Magic Expeditions.
Magic Expeditions. What's the best way for people to contact you if they have questions?
My email. So Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. Or we have a Facebook page, just Magic Expeditions. And you can find us through there.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, we'll get to some of the details now on what it looks like in Walt Disney World in 2023. My pathway to being a huge Disney fan, specifically Disney World fan, is much different than Erica's. Erica is like out of the womb.
Correct.
Disney World.
Mickey ears.
Fanatic. And my story is much different. I, in 2018, had gotten a job promotion. I host a radio show in St. Louis. It was a big promotion for me and for my family. My husband had recently gotten a new job and was doing really well in it. And it was time for us to take our kids on a family vacation, what I would refer to as a proper family vacation. We live in the Midwest in the St. Louis area. And, you know, you go to Branson, you go to Lake the Ozarks, you go to Chicago, whatever it might be. Great vacations. But like, let's go somewhere and do something. And for me, that was, let's take the kids to Disney World. And my husband and I both said to each other, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this. We're going to do it for the kids. We're going to get to always say we were the parents who took our kids to Disney World. We'll check the boxes, we'll get in, we'll get out. And now I'm a Disney Vacation Club member and an annual pass holder. And I have been back many times. It's predominantly what I think about when I'm trying to distract myself from the rigors of, you know, life and being a parent and following the news cycle every day. Disney World is my hobby, and it's where I put my attention, and I am always pursuing the next trip. So I just asked you this before we went live, Erica. When we kind of put the whole Pixie Dust podcast on hiatus in September of 2020, there were so many things at Disney World that were not back to normal. And I remember having many conversations with you where like, we just want it to be open. We just want to know that it's open, even if you're not there. And my first trip back to Disney World with my family and my parents was at the end of July of 2020. I mean, I think Magic Kingdom had been reopened for about 9 days.
Yeah.
And that was the trip that we had had planned for months and months and months. And, you know, everybody was having to get their trips canceled as they would extend it a little bit longer, extend it a little bit longer. We managed to go on our late summer 2020 trip. You had to wear masks everywhere in the July heat. There were a lot of attractions that weren't open because they didn't have people back to operate those attractions, among many other mitigations. Right now, as of the recording of this, early February of 2023, there are very few signs anymore that anything is out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Back to normal, Erica.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I think about the conversations that we had back then. And, you know, I would have felt safer going to Disney World than I would to the grocery store back then, just because they take such good care and so much pride in everything that they do. So throughout the process of the pandemic and the reopening and what the new normal was, you know, they would change and they would adapt, and then they would do masking and then only mask indoors. And as of now, we are the only thing that's not back is the dining plan. Other than that, you know, everything is back, and I think even better than it was before, because now, you know, the park reservations are kind of helping to move people throughout the parks to kind of help moderate the crowd levels, you know. So there's a lot that I think good came from it, and you know, it's the magic is back. It's there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned park reservations. The dining plan isn't there. Disney, the last comment that Disney has made is that the dining plan is returning, I think, in 2022, which didn't quite happen, but they've never said that it's not happening. So we're just going to say the dining plan has not returned yet, but Disney has not made any comment to suggest that it isn't returning. I have gone on family vacations with the dining plan and without, and I can absolutely make arguments for both ways of doing it. So
Yeah. Without
the dining plan being there, don't think, oh, I'm going to put this vacation off and wait until the dining plan comes back and miss out on this opportunity that you have now to go have mm-hmm. a family vacation, because there's still great ways to go about doing it. But you mentioned park reservations. That is something that is new post-COVID, Erica. What does it mean to have, you know, I get a ticket. If I'm working with you, Erica, you help secure the kind of ticket, the amount of the days of tickets, whether or not you're going to park hop, which means go to multiple parks in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But the new thing now is park reservations. That's in addition to the ticket. What does that mean?
So a park reservation is free, so you don't have to get an additional ticket. So once you have the ticket, it does ensure that you can get that park reservation. However, it doesn't guarantee availability to that park. So it's Disney's way of just making sure that, you know, there aren't 75% of capacity at Magic Kingdom and 5% of capacity at Epcot. It kind of helps move those people along to where, you know, the reservations, they do sell out, especially in the peak seasons. So when you buy your tickets, you can book your park reservations, which is just saying what park you're going to start your day at. At 2 o'clock, you can hop, as you mentioned, if you purchase the park hopper tickets, and you do not need a reservation to park hop. So if you start at Magic Kingdom and then at 2 o'clock, you want to go to Epcot for dinner, then you can certainly do that. And you do not need a reservation. You only need a reservation for the park that you're starting at.
Yeah. And it's February 2nd, the evening of February 2nd, 2023. And as of this recording, you would have to go to Magic Kingdom where your park reservation for the day is. You have to scan into that park before you can park hop elsewhere. Or you could modify your park reservation should there still be remaining reservations at Epcot. My experience, certainly if you're booking with Erica Murphy here and you're planning your trip, she's going to navigate all of these corners for you. Because the biggest thing that people who think, oh, it'd be really nice to take that Disney World vacation. And then you start looking at it and you're like, this is so much. It is like a masterclass in vacationing. How are you supposed to be able to do that? Well, if you partner with Erica Murphy, it literally costs you no extra pennies at all to book your vacation through Erica Murphy than if you tried to do it yourself, or to, you know, go directly through Disney. She partners basically, I don't know what the right way to say it technically, but you're partnered with Disney, right?
Yeah. Well, so we're trained through Disney.
Recognized by Disney.
Yeah, we're recognized. Our agency actually is an earmarked agency. So we're recognized as a Disney vacation planner. And we, you know, they do College of Knowledge that we have to go through every single year with the updates and what's new. And they send us DMA mail. It's all, you know, it's all, we get all the news. So yeah,
you're on the in, and it's to Disney's benefit to have people like Erica out there who are very, very knowledgeable, helping people have the best vacation possible, because then guess what? You go back and Disney likes that. So when it comes to park reservations, as Erica said, it's one of those things you do need to do and you do need to anticipate. You can't just show up to a park and get in. Many times you could show up and not have a park reservation, and park reservations are still available, so they make one for you. But that's time that you lose when you're there. Time is money for sure at Disney World. And ultimately, you just want it to go as smooth as possible. So that's something new. There are a lot of opinions out there about whether park reservations are good or bad. My experience is that the people who really don't like it are the locals. I think in my experience as somebody who's traveled to Disney many times with my family or just with my husband or with, you know, other adults that we've gone on an adult trip with, the park reservations help me make sure that I'm not going to show up somewhere and be turned away. I know where I'm going and I have a reservation to be there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's dramatically different. I think the number one thing that I would say is the whole concept of Genie Plus and lightning lanes and individual lightning lanes, or what individual, is that what it is? Individual lightning lanes?
I don't know.
I've done it many times. I'm very good at it, but every time I'm at Disney World and I'm going through this process, and I'm with people and I'm trying to the idea of trying to sit there and explain how this works, they're always like, just do it, Annie. I don't even want to know. Yeah. So it's a little complicated. And having somebody like Erica be able to walk you through it is really important. What can you tell us on the baseline, Erica, about Genie Plus? I guess the best way to say it, if you have some familiarity with the way Disney World worked in the past, is fast passes are gone. Mm-hmm. Make Genie Plus your friend.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that I kind of think about it is, if people have gone to Disney over the years, it's more like the old Fast Pass system, where you would walk up and get the ticket to come back and kind of book it one at a time. For any of the newbies, there are different layers to the Genie service. So the Genie is actually a free service, and that's going to be your tip board. It's going to help kind of navigate you through the park with show times and fireworks and wait times and all of that.
It's kind of like having a guide, a guide that if you don't know what you're doing and you don't want to pay for any extra help, it can suggest to you, here are some things that would be available to you right now. And if you're interested in doing those things, it will navigate you to that place, help you with wait times and everything. But it's more of a guide as opposed to kind of like the extra leg up that the Genie Plus system gives you.
Right. Some would say it was even a genie. You know, even wishes. It's like they knew what they were doing when they named that. So then the Genie Plus is going to be the paid service, where you're going to get your Lightning Lane access, which is essentially an hour long reservation to come back at a certain amount of time and skip the line in the same way that you would the old fast passes.
So if, let's just say you want to ride Thunder Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Magic Kingdom. If you get a Thunder Mountain Lightning Lane reservation and it's for 10:55 a.m., you are going to be able to arrive at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in Magic Kingdom between 10:55 and 11:55 a.m., whatever is convenient to you. You might know full well that you're not going to get there until 11:40, right at the end of your window. But as long as you're within that hour window, you get to go and walk into a separate queue, a separate entry lane. And my experience, and I'm a big Genie Plus user and advocate. A lot of people think it's too complicated, and I'm very happy with that, because then they stay out of the Genie Plus.
Right, exactly.
But if you are there to learn the system and master it, like I have made my hobby, it's a huge advantage. And we will do a separate podcast on different ways that I navigate Genie Plus to make it benefit me and my family and the people I'm around the most. But once you get into that Lightning Lane, as opposed to the standby queue, I'm not going to make a promise. I don't know if Disney has a specific number on this, but you might wait 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe on a huge attraction, it might go up to 15 minutes, but that other line might be 2.5 hours for something that's massive. Easy. And again, if time is money, I mean, if you think about waiting in line for something for 15 minutes, where the alternative to experience the ride at all, I think of like Rise of the Resistance, that's an easily a 2-hour wait on any given day. If you shave off 90 minutes plus of your time, think about all of the other things that you can do with it. And then start, in my mind, I value how much money is that 90 minutes worth.
Yeah.
At Disney World, when you're talking Disney dollars, that's worth a lot of money. So you get to skip the line, and then you get to, well, I'll talk a little bit more about the details of Genie Plus, but how if you go from Genie, Erica, to kind of plussing up your vacation with Genie Plus, what's the cost? How does that work? How do people access it?
So it varies. So it's going to be, you know, based on peak season, you know, availability. It's typically anywhere from $15 to $25 per person per day, which for a family of five or six, you know, it can seem like it's a lot of money because you pay for it per day. Some of the good things about it, though, you don't have to get it for your whole trip. So if you don't want to get it for, say, Animal Kingdom, you don't have to. If you only want to get it for Magic Kingdom, you can certainly do that. The thing about Genie Plus that I really like over the old FastPass system is it does give you more flexibility. So previously we had to book them 60 days in advance, and you had to plan your day 60 days before you even set foot on property. So if you're a new guest, I mean, you don't know what to expect. You don't know how long the days are, if you're going to want to take a nap, you know. So the Genie Plus definitely gives you more flexibility in that you book them as you go. So if you want to stop and have lunch, if you want to go back to the resort and swim, you know, you definitely have the flexibility to do so and then maximize your time in the park without feeling like you're just having to run from FastPass to FastPass to FastPass because you booked them 60 days before. And it just kind of gives you that breath, I think, that that I really like.
Yeah. I mean, so much of Disney World is now technologically based. Mm-hmm. My Disney experience is the Disney app that you're going to want to download so that you can start to navigate, plan, and track the plans that you've made for your Disney trip. But Genie Plus is a great way to, to me, it dramatically increases the maximization of your time at Disney. And like I said, we'll do another episode here soon on how I have maximized it for my family. And just like you said, Erica, I have a family of six. Now my youngest is not two yet, but for us to go and have five people and have to pay those prices for five people, I mean, it's easily $75 a day to add this in. So for me to be as eager as I am to pay for it, for $75 a day, I mean, that's almost another ticket worth of expenditure. It's got to be really worth it. And another facet of it that I think is fantastic is that you can use it at multiple parks. Mm-hmm. So once you've got up and utilized it at the park that you go to the first part of the day, when you park hop to the next one, if you've determined, you know what, I think we've done, if you started at Animal Kingdom and you used it to ride the few rides there that you want to ride, and you know, okay, after this, we're going to go to Hollywood Studios. Once you've determined and you've used your Lightning Lanes at Animal Kingdom, you can say, I'm going to go see what's available at Hollywood Studios. And as long as it's after that 2 p.m. park hopping time, you can, if there's a Tower of Terror open for 6:30 and you're going to get dinner, you can go get your dinner. And then as long as you're there by 7:30, because you get that hour window, you can go over to Hollywood Studios and skip the line for Tower of Terror. So it's a very useful tool. I think of all of the ways that Disney says spend just a little bit more money, I think that for me is on the top of my list of ways to plus up your vacation.
Yeah. And I, since, you know, it's been 2020, I haven't gone to Disney as a mom. So I have planned hundreds of trips for families and I have all the tips and tricks for people, but I have never personally experienced it as a mom. And I think of, I have a 3-year-old and now a 1.5, almost 2-year-old. And I think about going to the grocery store with them or going out to dinner. And I'm like, I like panic while we're waiting for our food to get to the table. I cannot imagine sitting in a 2-hour queue kids. I don't know. I would pay $400. Just give them. I know. Disney, please don't hear me say that. Yes. Don't do that, please.
We will edit that out in post. She did not just say that.
I'm just saying, I think.
Watch your mouth.
I know. But I would pay a good amount of money to not have to sit in a 2-hour queue with two toddlers.
Yeah.
So
there have been a couple. Go ahead.
no, when I would go as an adult sitting in a line with my 40-year-old husband, you know, I was already like ready to smack him. So, and I'm really digging myself a hole here. And
no,
I'm
a little rusty. That's kind of what I was going to say, because since my husband and I have become Disney Vacation Club members, we have that obligation. It's a wonderful obligation to go back on more trips. And Disney Vacation Club is something that I want to talk about in further episodes of the Pixie Dust podcast. There's infinitely amount of things that I could discuss when it comes to DVC. But what it does is it gives us an allotment of points that we have to use each year, get to use each year. And what that turns into is usually like a nice family vacation. We do our best to beg my parents to come along with us, and they take the trip with us. The kids love it. We have taken my brother and his family. We've taken my sister and her boys this summer. We're going to stay in a 2-bedroom villa at Riviera with my mom, my dad, and my 3 nephews and all my family. And it's just a great way to share Disney. But when it comes to trying to get if there are a lot of people in your group to please, if there are a lot of individuals who some of them can't want to ride every thrill ride as many times as they can, and others are like, put me back on, it's a small world. That's what I came for. Small world, Peter Pan. That's Erica.
That's me.
And, you know, if you've got to navigate those different things, it's really great to have somebody like Erica who can help you go into that vacation and not have to be stressing during the vacation about the planning, because mm-hmm. the anticipation of what you need to do, like you said, you've planned hundreds of vacations for people. Erica has helped me plan vacations. She's helped me get tickets, and we did a hotel stay one time, and she's helped me book reservations for dining and everything. If I have a question, everybody in my orbit, if they have a Disney question, they ask me. If I have a Disney question, I go to Erica, and she's always got an answer for me. So Genie Plus is one of those things that we can dive in a little bit deeper in a following episode. Lightning Lanes are the fast pass, the old fast pass lane. It's a secondary, just imagine a faster lane, mm-hmm. not a fast pass lane, but maybe lightning fast in the lane. So that's something that is kind of new post COVID with the opening. But there are also some really big attraction updates in 2023, especially some that have just recently opened, some that have just recently closed, and one really, really highly anticipated one that's supposed to open up soon. Eric, I got to imagine that there are people who you're talking to planning vacations who are always asking you about a few of those rides.
100%. I mean, the most anticipated ride in a very, very long time. And
it's kind of a joke to some people who've been following the most anticipated time.
Well, I mean, I would say it's Remy, because that's my favorite, but that doesn't have quite the following that Tron. I mean, I have seen some spoilers, you know, because I am a Disney nerd and I like to kind of peel back the magic a little bit. I mean, just the videos are mind-blowing. I mean, the technology that's on this, and thinking about, you know, what they've done with Pandora and Rise of the Resistance and how they just keep topping themselves. It's just, it's really, really something fantastic. So that is coming April 4th.
And it's a massive thrill-seeking roller coaster that is situated behind Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. If you are familiar with the layout, it's, I mean, right there by Tomorrowland Speedway, Dumbo, and the Barnstormer, and Tron.
And Tron.
Right back in the back, this Tron. And if you're interested in scoping it out a little bit, which park has it? It's not Disney Sea. Is it Beijing has, I think, Tron? It's in effect.
Yeah.
In Asia.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which park it is right now, but I mean that they're bringing that to the Magic Kingdom. And I've been watching in the times that I've gone, and they've been developing it and building it and just seeing it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would really label myself as a thrill seeker. What I am more is a, I don't want to be called a wimp. So I'm like, I'm totally going to go on Tron. I am so excited for Tron. It's the most anticipated ride in the universe. I'm absolutely going to do that. And then I'm like, 20 steps away from it. And I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I'm an idiot. I shouldn't do this. I don't have anything to prove anything. I'm a grown woman. I don't need to ride this ride. And then I get off and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it, but it makes Magic Kingdom like that. There's nothing. There's the Mine Train, which is the biggest attraction, I would say, the most sought after attraction. That roller coaster is like, what, 80 seconds long? Maybe even. It's a, such a fast ride. Big Thunder Mountain is a roller coaster that, in my opinion, has much more thrill than the Mine Train. Tron, next level stuff.
Not even on the same chart. Yeah, you can't even compare it. And kind of in segue to the lightning lanes that kind of went with that, when new attractions open like this, they do, you know, a virtual queue. And it can be, you know, a little challenging for people that have never done it before, because you can't just walk up and think that you're going to get into the queue for these attractions. I mean, you need to get a world clock and be on bright at 7 o'clock in the morning because they sell out in seconds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have videos that kind of help walk you through that and kind of get you the best chance to get those, to get a place in those queues. And then they also have the individual lightning lanes, which is more of the a la carte attractions, to where you can purchase one by one that kind of works parallel to Genie Plus. So you can book those in addition to the Genie Plus attractions. So it also helps when something like Tron opens and people are planning vacations just specifically to go to this attraction. It gives everybody a fair shot that, you know, anybody can have a chance to ride this attraction.
Yeah. So that those two things that you just mentioned there, the individual lightning lanes that are the big marquee rides at Disney World. I think currently right now, Mine Train, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is the one, right? Isn't there just one at each park right now? Mm-hmm. I think it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at Magic Kingdom. It's Rise Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. Rise of the Resistance, as you were saying, at Hollywood Studios, and Avatar Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom. All amazing rides. I've ridden all of those and they're fantastic. But Tron will... We don't know for sure, but unless you do, or maybe you can't tell, but I don't know if the Mine Train will still be that. We don't know, right?
Yeah, we don't know, but we do know that the Tron will be virtual queue when it opens. So, and Guardians is running on a virtual queue right now.
So let's talk about Guardians here real quick, because Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is a fantastic roller coaster in Epcot. I've ridden it multiple times. If you are a fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie series, or let's just be honest, Chris Pratt,
right?
I am a fan of. I think he's fantastic. All of the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy, super fun, super funny. And if you know anything about the movies, a big part of the movies is the music and the soundtrack that goes along with it. And the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster is like none other that I've ever ridden in. It has a backwards launch, which is super cool, and it's fast. And then as you move through the roller coaster, the cart turns on the track. So sometimes you're facing forward, sometimes you're facing sideways, sometimes you're going backwards. And it's not meant in a way that is intended to like make you dizzy by spinning. But the best way to explain it is it's an indoor roller coaster. And pretty much the entire time you're in there, you're surrounded by massive movie screens. And then a few actual physical props in the actual attraction that tell the story as you go through. And then the really exciting thing is, I think there are six different songs. Is it six? Six different songs that play. And when you get in, there, you get one of the six songs. So like one of them is September. One of them is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. One of them is One Way or Another. I can't remember all six of them, but I think those are the ones that I've gotten when I've ridden it. It's fantastic. But that one, even when it first came out, to get the virtual queue, which is I never say free. I like to say included, because you know it. You ain't getting on that thing for free. But the included one would go out super fast, but it's actually available. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy one is not nearly as competitive as it used to be. The paid for ones you can still access into the day. That could always change. But Rise of the Resistance was incredibly competitive with the virtual queue and the paid for when it first came out. So I'd assume Tron will be the same.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned about Guardians too. And I think if anybody has listened to previous episodes of Pixie Dust, and I know my speed, you know, I've stepped on Spaceship Earth and quickly are Mission Space.
Oh, I was going to say.
I can handle Spaceship Earth. Mission Space. And when they put the, you know, vomit bag in your lap, I was like, oh no, this is not for me. So I quickly got off that attraction.
I've never done
that
one.
I'm not a thrill person. However, you know, growing up, going to amusement parks that should not be named, you know, that's, you just get on these attractions and it's like, go, go, go. It's a thrill ride. Like you're on these roller coasters and it's jerking you around and like, you're like nauseous when you get off. And that's not fun to me. But yeah. Disney, the theming, like it's not like that. Like when you're on a thrill ride, there's also the theming that goes along with it, and it tells a story, and it's immersive, and it's, you know, something that you've never experienced. It's not just how dizzy can I get or how fast can I go. Like there is a component of that, but with that, you know, there's also this beautiful story that's kind of, you know, putting you in the movie, so to speak, putting you in the attraction to where you feel like you're actually part of it. Mm-hmm. And that for me has kind of, I can do those. I can do a story.
It's so much more of an experience than it is a ride. And I don't know if you ever intend to do Avatar Flight of Passage. You can think about it. Maybe. Maybe. But I'll tell you what, the first time I got off of that, I had to ride by myself because it was the first time we went down there and we had littles and they did not want to ride it. But everyone's like, oh, you got to do it. It's amazing. Blah, blah, blah. So, okay, fine. We'll do it. So I waited in line. That's the only line I've ever waited in that's obnoxious. And I think I waited over 2 hours by myself in a queue where half of it was inside. And for whatever reason, my phone didn't get reception there. It was very trying. When I got through the ride and I got on it and I walked off, I had tears because of the experience. And I thought, I am a Looney Tune. And then I took my parents. They came with us on our the first family trip. They came on it and they went on it. My mom went on it. And afterwards, she's like, I'm like crying and I don't even understand why. And I'm like, I know. What is that? But you actually, it's like almost a spiritual thing in the sense that you feel like you're flying. The way that the technology is displayed and the way you experience it, you know, I say spiritual. I'm a Christian. That's like, I'm going to put that out there since I said the word spiritual, but there is a connection that you make flying through this nature that's obviously not of Earth, but it's literally nothing that I had ever experienced before in my life. And I don't even know how I could experience something like that again for the first time. It was mind blowing. And then I remember, not this past summer, but the summer before, I went with my brother. We brought my brother and his family along. And I was like, I have to be next to him when I ride this ride. I want to watch him take this in. And we're going through it. And he's just like, mouth is agape. And he goes, he takes the 3D glasses off his head. He goes, how is this happening? And he's just looking around. And I'm a very intuitive, like I'm a attention to detail girl. And you're like, I know that this is not real. I am not flying on a banshee on a foreign planet being chased by really scary freaking looking aliens, but maybe I am.
Yeah.
It's for really, a second.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what Disney World is all about. That's the experience as a grown person that I have that is just truly magical.
Yeah.
And then of course as we've talked about our kids, I have four kids myself, now 13-year-old down to, a toddler. And those kind of moments, it's just everywhere when those little kids are out there. It's such an amazing gift to give to your family if you're able to do it. And that's kind of brings me to the last part of the conversation, at least for today, is I am absolutely a lover and fan of discounts. In any way that you can save money or, you know, seize an opportunity to make this more doable for your family. Of course, if you're going on this trip, you want to be able to afford it. You want to not extend yourself beyond your means. It is another reason why you can't afford not to book your vacation with Erica, because it costs you no extra money at all to go with Erica. And Erica herself has helped me plan trips where she gets to give me that phone call, Annie, they dropped a discount. I secured it for you. You saved $1,000 or something insane like that. Or even, you know, $100, or they came out with free dining or whatever that, you know, I remember that was one of the ones pre-COVID that you were able to tell me. And it's so exciting when that happens. And I'm gainfully employed. My husband is gainfully employed. We have four kids. I do not have time to monitor these things as they're coming out. Erica gets the heads up before everybody else gets the heads up. So what can you tell us about, I don't know if you have any anecdotes that you want to share, but ways that you can save on these Disney vacations, but also discounts and how those things generally work with Disney.
Yeah. So when promotions are released, it doesn't matter if you have an existing reservation or you're a brand new reservation. If you have an existing reservation, like Annie said, we can still apply the promotion if it applies to your trip. So we can save you money even if you're already booked. So that's something that's really exciting because it also gives you the leg up on the people that haven't booked yet because you already have your trip. So how the promotions typically work, it's not that, you know, there's a time limit and it runs out. They have a certain amount of rooms at each property. And when they're gone, they're gone. So when really good promotions are released, I mean, sometimes the really popular rooms like Polynesian, you know, you're not going to be able to find a room there, but if you're already booked, we can apply it. So, you know, that's really good. But then they have some really good promotions that they put out you know, we talked about dining earlier. We don't know what the dining plan is going to look like. We have been told as travel agents that it is coming back, but we don't know in what capacity or what it's going to look like. Previously, they had like a credit system, so we really don't know. However, they did release a promo recently that runs on most nights from July 1st to July 10th of this summer, and then August 1st through September 14th. And it's a stay, play, and enjoy a Disney dining promo card. So it's kind of interesting in the way where you book your room, and then they give you a gift card to use on food and beverage while you're there. So it depends on the level of the resorts that you're staying at. There's a value, moderate, or deluxe. That's the way that the value of the gift card that they're going to give you is based on. But then, you know, you get up to $500 of this gift card to where you can use it for one dining. You can use it for many quick services. So it kind of gives you the flexibility, again, to not have to pick ahead of time, not have to worry about credit cards or credits, that you just have this gift card that you can use on the dining. So that's one of the promotions that's out right now. And then they also have a room promotion. So they have a 25% off room promotion, and that is for this spring. So it's April 10th through July 10th. And, you know, it's a great way to stay on property and save some money.
Yeah. So we're recording this on February 2nd of 2023. So those promotions we are talking about are the ones that are coming out from that date. You know, if I'm hearing that and I'm like, gosh, Erica, that sounds great, but I don't have the, you know, four figures of money right now to pay for that vacation. I hear you saying it's great to just get it on the books and have everything in there so that I can apply the promotion when that promotion hits. What should I do if I don't have the full thing saved up right now?
So to get a reservation, you only need $200 deposit, and it's fully refundable. So if you're even thinking about it, I mean, it's $200. And if you change your mind, you get that back, no questions asked. The final balance is due 30 days before arrival, and you can make as many payments as you want. So I have people that, I guess for no better words, put it on layaway. And so they, you know, pay $500 a month or, you know, $200 a month or whatever they have, however long, you know, you can book for the next year. And then you can pay it off little by little. And it's not as daunting as, well, here's $3,000 for our family, you know, breaking it down in more manageable chunks. But that $200 reservation, that deposit, we could make your park passes. It gets you to make your dining reservations when it's time, even when your reservation is not paid off. You can get the promotion still. So, you know, if you're even just kind of thinking about it, I always say, if you have the $200, just put it down, because we can always refund it if you change your mind, but it's a lot harder to grab it if it's already booked up.
Yeah, $200, fully refundable. Entrust it with Erica. It all goes on your account. It's all, you know, saved there. And it's just a really great way to be able to kind of have those vacation juices start to flow mm-hmm. and the motivation you need to save if you're booking. How far out can you book a Disney World vacation?
So typically, you know, you can book room only 365 days. So if you have, I have somebody, it's actually there right now. She had a very specific room at Polynesian that she wanted. So we booked that a year and a half to make sure that she got the exact room that she wanted and then changed it into a package. So right now I can book packages up to 2023 for the rest of the year. So we can book them up till December. And then the following year is typically released in the summer-ish for the next year.
Okay. So you reserve your spot, $200. If you change your mind, if circumstances change and the trip that you set out to do, maybe it doesn't manifest the way you thought it was going to, you get that money back. Mm-hmm. And then you just start over and try to think of the next way to get out to Disney World. Well, mm-hmm. that's a ton of information and our kind of inaugural, our re-inaugural back on the Pixie Dust podcast. And we're really grateful that you spent time with us mm-hmm. this episode, and we have many planned in the future. I will add too that I'm going to be adding extra episodes to the Pixie Dust podcast. I'm going to be doing Disney planning here with Erica, and the intention is to start doing some content reviews on different things, movies, series, features, shorts, all of the different types of stuff that's on Disney Plus from my point of view as a mom. And you know, in those episodes, I'll talk a little bit more about who I am and how I parent my kids. And then my brother-in-law is going to join me, and he is raising my nephews and niece, and he's going to talk from dad's perspective about it so that we can be kind of somebody for you to lean on if you have the same interests as we do. Not everybody does, and that's absolutely fine. Of course, we encourage you to consume all that content based on what you think is best for yourself, for your family. But if you're interested and you know a little bit about me, maybe from the radio show that I do in St. Louis on 97.1 FM Talk, then maybe you might be interested in some of our content reviews. So we're going to be adding those episodes as well to the Pixie Dust podcast. Anything else you want to add, Erica? Happy to be back.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so happy to be back. It's this is everything to me. You know, Disney is everything to me. So to be able to talk about it and help other people, this is why I do what I do.
And for people to contact you, Erica, if mm-hmm. they have questions, of course, no obligation, just want to reach out to you and say, you know, you mentioned this, tell me more about that. Or if they are like, I have a $50,000 vacation I'd like to book right now. Right.
Please, please, please message me.
How should they make sure that they get the contact exactly right?
It's E-R.
He's not joking.
It's Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. And, you know, we joke about the 50,000 because, oh, I mean, I'll take it. But, you know, even the $2,000, you know, $3,000, they're all the same to me. But I have recently helped a lot of multi-generational families where it's, you know, you've mentioned you've gone with your parents and your brother and you're trying to coordinate with all those different people that, you know, working with an agent makes that a lot
take the pressure off. Take the pressure off yourself, folks. Go with Erica. She'll help you through the whole thing. Erica, such a pleasure to be back with you. I can't wait to do more.
Back.
Until next time. Thanks for being here.